The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM, hits 103.9 FM in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi, myjoyonline.com, and affiliates in all 16 regions of Ghana, including Victory FM Aflao, Radio Justice Tamale, and Dreams FM Bolgatanga. Also live on X Spaces and Facebook, The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams. Coming up, Ghana CD resumes appreciation spree against the dollar less than a week after Bank of Ghana announced plans to pump in up to 1.15 billion cedis into the forex market. Details plus analysis on Moody's becomes the latest ratings agency to upgrade Ghana's economy, citing significant improvements in macroeconomic indicators. Also this afternoon, maritime inspectors and the Ghana Navy join efforts to investigate the tragic boat accident at Ketikrache, which has claimed the lives of 15 people, including 11 children.
We are drawing from people from the maritime police. I mean, already there's a Navy detachment that is at Ketikrache that is quite close. They already have been employed, and officials from the Ghana Maritime Authority.
We have details as it's revealed the boat involved in this tragic accident was controlled by an 11-year-old as the Ghana Maritime Authority pushes for a review of the existing laws to give it more power to enforce and penalize offenders.
Working on an act of parliament that really would have in it all the regulations for us to really, really have the power to be able to enforce. And that is where I think that once we have a full-blown, we'll be able to penalize and prosecute people swiftly and easily.
We have details of that. We'll also speak to the MCE for the latest on the grounds. Plus, Joy News research data revealing that 61 lives have perished through boat capsizing accidents since 2022. In sports,
Sani Dara cautions the Ghana FA against inviting diaspora players for the World Cup without proving commitment.
Also coming up, Ghana Health Service alarmed by the increasing cases of blindness in the country, revealing that about 165,000 Ghanaians have gone blind due to cataracts. And want a roof to withstand harsh weather conditions, regulate indoor temperatures and reduce energy costs? DBS Industries is the best choice. They'll be at the Ekobank Joy News Habitat Fair, which is just 10 days away.
We are also going to educate. There's a notion that roofing is a one-size-fits-all. So we'll have our professionals there to educate people on the types of roofing, depending on your area or where your building is.
These and more with me, Mami Esi Nyamiche Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible. This afternoon, the Ghana cedi is standing tall against the US dollar once again, less than a week after the Bank of Ghana announced plans to inject up to $1.15 billion into the forex market this month. The cedi has resumed its appreciation momentum for the past 5 days, reflecting renewed market confidence in the central bank's intervention strategy. Beyond that, the broader economy is also showing signs of recovery as Moody's becomes the latest ratings agency to upgrade Ghana's outlook, citing significant improvements in key macroeconomic indicators. In studio with me is Joy News research analyst Isaac Kofieje to give us more on this. Kofi, first tell us how the CD is responding to the central bank's intervention announcement.
Well, Mami, so it's been less than a week since the governor announced that they were going to intervene with more than 1.1 billion US dollars in terms of injection and intervention. And we've been keeping tabs on what is happening to the CD, and we started the day with around $1, selling somewhere around 12 CDs and 5 pesos. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in 38 days, the CD has returned to the 11 CD zone where it is now trading, according to Bloomberg, 11 CDs, 95 pesos. Mm-hmm. So per our checks, since that announcement, the CD has appreciated by more than 3%. In less than a week.
Well, do we know how much the Bank of Ghana has pumped in since the crisis year of 2022 to rescue the city?
Well, so we've been tracking data from the IMF's, you know, document, and what we've seen is that if you add the current plan injection of 1.15 billion US dollars in October alone, this will mean that the Bank of Ghana has injected close to 8.6 billion US dollars to save the city since 2022. 1.9 billion came in 2022, reduced to 1.1 billion in 2023. Then the biggest came in $3 billion in 2024. And this year, per the data we have tracked so far, the Bank of Ghana has injected over $2.5 billion to rescue the city. And per the direction that this is going, it simply means that 2025 will possibly end as the unprecedented year where the Bank of Ghana has injected more dollars than any other year that we've been tracking so far.
Good. Well, Kofi, let's focus now on the upgrade from Moody's. What do we know?
Well, so Moody's says that they are now upgrading Ghana's credit ratings from the CAAA2 now to CAAA1, giving it a stable outlook. Moody's is citing, you know, significant improvement in inflation, the debt to GDP ratio, and then also key economic indicators such as government's slowdown in fiscal, you know, expenditure and the fiscal discipline we are currently experiencing. Okay. So Moody's says that they see the country's, you know, economy heading towards the right direction.
Thank you so much. Isaac Kofiejay's lead data and research analyst at Joy News. This afternoon, a team of maritime inspectors and officers of the Ghana Navy have been deployed to assist the police and other authorities to investigate the tragic boat accident in Kitikrachi, which has claimed the lives of 15 people, including 11 children. According to the Ghana Maritime Authority, the boat was overloaded and capsized while crossing a section of the Volta Lake. The victims include children aged between 2 and 14 years, along with 4 adults. 4 others survived the disaster, with one person still missing. Deputy Director General of the Ghana Maritime Authority, Masoud Mubarak, explains the scope of the investigation, but calls for a review of the existing laws to give the authority more power to enforce and penalize persons who breach safety standards.
We are drawing from people from the maritime police. I mean, already there's a Navy detachment that is at Kitikrachi that is quite close. They already have been deployed, and officials from the Ghana Maritime Authority. So at this stage, we don't have the full complement of the team that we require to be able to begin entirely. We've come to learn that most of these accidents happen as a result of negligence on the part of boat operators and passengers alike. Most of these boats are not in good condition. Most of the times when these boats navigate water bodies, you would see that the boat operators and the passengers alike do not wear life jacket. So we are intensifying our education and awareness raising on this. It will interest you to also know that we are a bit handicapped when it comes to the legal backing that we require to be able to make enforcement of some of these provisions. For instance, we are still working on an Act of Parliament that really would have in it all the regulations for us to really, really have the power to be able to enforce. And that is where I think that once we have a full-blown, we'll be able to penalize and prosecute people swiftly and easily.
Meanwhile, OT Regional Director of NADMO, Foster Jerry, revealed that the boat was being controlled by an 11-year-old and explains there is a big challenge with enforcing safety standards, particularly wearing of life jackets, which is mostly unavailable.
There are about 20 people in the boat. So the boat capsized and 15 of them died, and one is missing up to date. We didn't find anybody. The people who are that we send them, the police investigation are part of us before we are doing the Navy. So when we find the body, we are able to identify them. They are just a community member from Okuma. So we are able to identify them.
NADMO, the key question here is safety on water transport. These persons, we understand, didn't have life jackets on. How come there are no life jackets?
We have life jackets given to the commercial boats. We normally, organization and NADMO normally give life jackets to commercial boats. And the boat that they are using is a private, a boat that they use for fishing. It's not all that big. So you can see that the people who are on board are kids. So only 3 adults who are part. One is 58 years, 48, and 36. The rest are 12, 2 years, 4 years, and 11 years. Even the guy who is even handling the boat is 11 years.
Well, let's get some statistics on boat accidents in the country. Kwekwa Sante joins me in studio with more on this. Kwekwa, what's the breakdown?
So, I have a very grim outlook here. On 14th April 2022, there was a boat capsizing incident. 7 people died, 13 were rescued. In March 18, 2023, five people also died in Adan East of the Greater Accra region. In May 2023, the boat hit a submerged tree stump and 18 people were reported dead. On 12 June 2024, another service boat capsized on River Oti near Dambai. 11 people drowned and died. And then 26th August 2025, a boat accident again on the Volta Lake with mourners and displaced passengers going somewhere. 5 people died. And then this incident with 15 people now confirmed dead with one missing.
Well, at least 61 lives since January 2022. Thank you, Kwekwa Sante, for that. Well, a major enforcement operation is underway in the Ashanti region as the Health Facilities Regulatory Agency, HEFRA, embarks on a large-scale crackdown on unlicensed and non-compliant health facilities. The exercise, which began this morning, targets more than 200 clinics, laboratories, maternity homes, and other healthcare centers operating without proper authorization from the regulatory agency. According to HEFRA officials, the move forms part of a nationwide effort to ensure all health facilities meet the required operational standards and regulatory obligations. We'll take you live to Kumasi, but first take a listen to HEFRA PRO, Christabel Ayram.
It's really going to be about
both today and tomorrow. We are locking down facilities that are unlicensed. So any facility that is unlicensed by HEFRA, we are coming after you. So we are advising those who are unlicensed that they should come to the HEFRA office. We are at Edum opposite Opoku Trading. And then there's a team on standby. Once you meet all the requirements, they'll do an inspection. Because it's a special exercise, we have a team on standby that will do the inspection for you, pick in client. And once we do the inspection for you, and then you meet our requirements, why not? Your facility will be open to the public. That is the only thing that would save anybody. Aside that, it is no license, no operations for health facilities.
How many facilities are we looking at?
Oh, for the Ashanti region, they understand the facilities that are not licensed. There are more than 200, and we'll close all of them down. All of them. We are not even sparing one. So once you are not licensed, we are coming after you. So just come and, like, get your license with HEFRA. They are over 200, especially the dental facilities. They say they are called dental, whatever they are called. Like, I don't know, most of them are dental. Even though they don't call themselves clinic, they are, most of the people who practice in those facilities are not even, like, practitioners. I don't even know how I think some of them claim they learned on the job. Some of them claim their mothers taught them, their fathers taught them. And I mean, these are people's health. You don't do that with people's health. Okay, so we are coming after all of them. So they should just come to HEFRA and do the right thing. We are regulators. We don't take pleasure in locking down facilities. But where you are wrong, because it has to do with people's health, we will take you on.
Well, let's take you to the Ashanti region. Nana Boachi Yadom is on standby for us. Nana, how has the operation been since it started?
Well, Mami, see, the operation has been a success and started a while ago. We've been able to visit some two facilities, one eye clinic and one diagnostic center at the Kumasi Metropolis. They've both been shut down. We are also on our way to several other facilities, as I speak to you. We are moving to some other facilities. We are expecting over 20 facilities to be closed down. These facilities, public and private, who have violated the rules of not licensing with the regulatory agency.
Well, Nana, has there been any reaction from owners of these facilities?
Well, HEFRA is still committed to closing down or shutting down all of these facilities. The responses that we've had from the affected facilities is that they are going to comply with the rules that require them to license their facility as soon as possible and get back on track.
Right. Thank you, Nana Boachi Yadom. Now, this afternoon, too, the Traditional Medicine Practicing Council has launched a major enforcement exercise in the Greater Accra region. This follows an investigation by the council, which revealed that more than 17 health facilities in the Greater Accra region have been found operating without authorization. The crackdown targets massage centers, gymnasiums, chiropractic facilities, traditional healing centers, and other outfits accused of flouting regulatory approval processes. Officials say this move is part of a nationwide effort to ensure that all facilities meet the required operational and safety standards. Dr. Yakubu is registrar of the council.
So if we as a council do not act, a lot of these quacks provide services that could endanger the lives of the public. 80% of Ghanaians rely on traditional medicine for their primary health care. This makes their services very essential, and then there is a need to protect the public and ensure that the people who know what they are doing are the ones in this space. So quacks are essentially people who do not have the qualification, but yet they're in the same space. If you are not a quack, the point is to do what you're supposed to do, which is to register with Traditional Medicine Practice Council, go through our trainings and get licensed to practice. And we have oversight responsibility over your practice as well as your premises. Because beyond having a license, we need to be sure that your products are supposed to or meet standard. Because the truth is, we're supposed to do random sampling. We can come into your facility, our inspectors can take your product and do random sampling so they meet the necessary standards. All of this will be doing around this time. And if your facility is not registered, for most of the facility we are going to, we've already written to them, we've spoken to them, we've invited them. Some are just recalcitrant.
My colleague Stephen is on the line with us and he's been following this beat. Stephen, how many facilities have been shut down since? We seem to have lost Stephen there. But Stephen, can you hear me?
Providing security for the exercise is yet to start currently. We are here at the headquarters of the council for the exercise to start.
All right, Stephen, thank you for that. Now, the Ghana Health Service has expressed concern over the rising cases of blindness across the country, describing the situation as alarming. According to the service, about 165,000 Ghanaians have already gone blind due to cataracts, making it the leading cause of blindness nationwide. Glaucoma and diabetic-related eye diseases also significantly contributing to blindness in Ghana, accounting for nearly all cases of visual loss in the country. The alarming situation was revealed by the head of the National Eye Care Unit of the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Homameto Afake, as part of activities making World Sight Day, and she joins me on the line with more on this. We're grateful for your time, Dr. Afake. How serious is the current blindness situation in Ghana? We apologize for that. We seem to be having issues with our phone lines, but we'll get through to Dr. Afake and speak to her. In every home, a love, a safety, and understanding should be given. But for children, that reality is far from reach. Hannah Odami tells the story of Ikria and Madra, two young girls whose troubled journeys led them to Bostel homes where they found more than just shelter.
My name is Ikria. I'm 19. I've been here for 3 years.
I'm Madra.
Plus, I'm 17.
How long have you been here?
3 years. In every home, love, safety, and understanding should be a given. But for some children, that reality is far from reach. I tell the story of Ikria and Madra, two young girls whose troubled journeys led them to the Bostel home, where they found more than just shelter.
Yeah, I was neglected by my family and I also decided to move to France. Since I was a child, when I grew, I went to visit my mom and she also started treating me in a bad way. So I decided to maybe move to France to maybe be comforted, and then I absconded.
Then there was Ikria, Marjorie's roommate, whose journey took an equally painful turn. At just 12, she fled home and fell into the wrong hands.
Let me say, it's a peer pressure. And then I left home. I left home to join friends, to do a lot of things, lots of bad things. I never knew I would end up here. But then I'm glad I'm here because it's good. Because when I was outside, I didn't know I could even do hairdressing or something. Yes, so I'm grateful. I'm glad.
Ikria has learned to be more forgiving, tame her anger, and cannot wait to get back to the home she first ran away from.
I want to go to my dad's place, you know. He has gone through a lot because of me, so I want to make him proud. Okay, first of all, when I go home, I'll apologize to him, say sorry to him, and then promise him I'm going to do something great for him to make him happy, and then for myself to fulfill my purpose in life. And then, yeah.
Through therapy, they have learned to confront their past. With the help of caring staff and supportive peers, they have healed. Ikea and Majwa are grateful for the turnaround.
When it comes to like character information, I was taken through counseling. I was taught how to endure. Because at home I didn't know how to endure. So I was taught, and then I was taught how to like ignore certain things, and then maybe you stepping on my toe, and I'll be like, hey, now hear me say, now hear me say, sometimes I go hear me say, now. I was taught not to do that. It's not good. So I've changed. Changed a lot. And school, I'll be going back to school too.
For Joy News, I am Hannah Odami.
And this is the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. We'll return with sports, and also Health Minister assures unpaid nurses and midwives of salary arrears clearance by November.
Cabinet has approved that with immediate effect, starting from November, the Minister for Finance must pay them.
Also, want a roof to withstand harsh weather conditions, regulate indoor temperatures, and reduce energy cost? DPS Industries is the best choice. They will be at the Ecobank Joy News Habitat Fair, which is just 10 days away.
We are also going to educate. There's a notion that roofing is a one-size-fits-all. So we'll have our professionals there to educate people on the types of roofing, depending on your area or where your building is.
Welcome back to the Midday News. We have sports.
Thank you very much, my Mercy. So for the fifth time in Ghana's history, the Black Stars have qualified for the FIFA World Cup after beating Comoros to book their place at the 2026 tournament. Their qualification has renewed talks about possible call-ups for diaspora players like Eddie Nketiah and Callum Hudson-Odoi, who have not ruled out switching allegiance. But former GFA Communications Director Sani Dara says only players who have shown real commitment to Ghana should be invited.
I was a personal advocate for Kevin Prince-Boateng to play for the Black Stars. Do you realize that he never played in the AFCON qualifiers? And for that reason, I think that we must now attach some level of pride and some level of love if someone wants to play. Yes, we must get our best available players, but they must pass that commitment test. This is not a club side. This is a country. People must not take us for granted. Just because you want to play for the World Cup, you choose to play for Ghana, and then afterwards you pick and choose which matches you want to play for, that I'm not for.
That's the former communications director of the Ghana Football Association, Ibrahim Sani Dara.
Right. Vice President Professor Nana Jane Opokwajiman has issued a declaration of war on illegal mining known as Galamsey, revealing that government is working on a landmark legislation to completely outlaw mining in Ghana water bodies and forest reserves. Speaking to the Ghanaian community in Belgium during the Global Gateway Forum in Brussels, Professor Opokwajiman noted that illegal mining has become a national catastrophe, eroding the very foundation of our existence.
So disturbing. All of us, especially my fellow women, we know what it takes to bring a child into the world. We know sometimes they are differently abled, but where we know that the challenges have been caused by things we can change, it can be even more painful. So it is not something that we take lightly at all. We've been mining gold forever. How come all of a sudden all our waters were polluted? The water sources are normally in our reserve portions. And that's the reason why those areas are reserved forests. Now, when you give that to some who can even will it to his family, you all know what I'm talking about. So it becomes a family property. How do you stop that water, that source?
Health Minister Kwablamin Takando has announced the government will clear all outstanding salary arrears owed to nurses and midwives by November. Speaking at a news conference in response to growing agitation from worker unions, the minister revealed that the Finance Ministry has received Cabinet's approval to release funds for payment. Convener of the Coalition of Unpaid Nurses and Midwives Association, Stephen Kwejo Tichua, has expressed excitement following the Health Minister's assurance to clear their 10-month salary areas by November. Let's listen to the Health Minister.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I speak to you now, that about 6,500, that will add up to the 7,000 already being paid, making 13,500. That's allowance. That's over 6,000. Cabinet has approved that with immediate effect, starting from November, the Minister for Finance must pay them. And I have in my hand the letter to that effect. And so these were the difficulties.
We can listen to convener of the Coalition of Unpaid Nurses and Midwives Association, Stephen Tichia.
So yes, I would say we are excited with the response from the ministry, because we brought a petition, and in response to the petition, the minister has assured us they have had a go-ahead from cabinet to start paying us in the coming month, that is in November. Mm-hmm. And with that, we say thank you to the minister and the ministry. We are really excited. Mm-hmm. But there is a clause. The minister did mention that with the payment of all our arrears, the plans are yet to be laid out and they will make it known to us. That's where we have an issue, but we are hoping that the plans that the ministry will bring in relation to the payment of the arrears will be something that will be in our favor. And aside that, we are very happy and we say thank you to the ministry.
Well, talk of durable roofs, which are also energy efficient as well as easy to install, and you will be pointing to DBS Industries, manufacturers of a variety of roof styles with the best warranty. Let's gather for Ghana's biggest housing fair, the Ecobank Joy News Habitat Fair, from October 23 to 26 at the Accra International Conference Center. Remember, it's just 10 days away. Be there and you will have so many discounts. But before we